So page 32, the relationship between the rod and reproof. Here's hope, parents. As our children mature, we will see less of a need for the rod and an ability to bring about obedience through reproof. Sorry, that left out a word. Less of a need for the rod and more of an ability. There's no blank. I just didn't even include those words. More of an ability to bring about obedience through reproof. As one decreases, the other increases. As one decreases, the other increases. And we would do well to back up to page 28. That's a textbook illustration, yeah. Yeah, go back to page 28 at the top, and let's look at Ted Tripp's definition of the rod, just so you make sure we're not just talking about spanking. We're talking about any kind of form of discipline. He describes it. You see where we're at, top of page 28. The rod is a parent in faith toward God and faithfulness toward his or her children, undertaking the responsibility of careful, timely, measured, and controlled use of physical punishment to underscore the importance of obeying God, thus rescuing the child from continuing in his foolishness until death. Because if we do not discipline our children while there is hope, Proverbs 19:18 says, we're setting our hearts on his destruction. So how do we do this? Well, the illustration you have there in your book, again, this is not perfect and not exact, but let's see. Let me remind myself of where we're at here. This is from Lou Priolo's book, Teach Them Diligently. The rod, this is, I'm just trying to remember. I'm sorry, I'm in VBS mode and I didn't switch gears. This is the rod here. So this dotted line going down is the rod. So the older they get, as they get older, the use of the rod decreases. Only if, though, and then ideally, reproof increases. I forgot what this slide means. I have no memory.
Number of applications.
Huh?
Number of applications.
Number of times. Okay. Yeah, so, give you two examples. All right, when our children were, 1, 2 years old, I can't really reason with them because they don't understand yet. They're still learning to talk and to communicate. So the rod would have been used more. Now, not when they're little bitty babies, but even if it's just a little swat on the hand, if they're disobeying, and then as they get a little older, when you're swatting them on the behind. So you're using more of that, and you can't open your Bible and talk to them about things because they can't understand it yet. However, even when they're babies, even when they're little, and these that have babies now can tell, you'll start to see their rebellion come out. When they don't get what they want, now that doesn't mean you spank them when they're crying for milk, but that's not what I'm saying. But you see their rebellion. You see, when they don't get something they want, they get angry. So you're starting to notice that. Anytime your child, by the way, defies you, I'll just say this almost across the board. If they ever tell you no, that is defiance. That is defiance. I have heard and seen children say no to their parents, and the parents do nothing. That is a no-no. And that needs to be addressed right away, because we don't say no to mom and dad. Because remember, whose authority do we represent? The Lord's authority. Are you ever allowed to say no to the Lord? No. No, and so we're not. So we did that early. If our children said no, we addressed it, we disciplined it, we said, sweetheart, son, we don't say no to mom or dad. You must obey us. We can talk about this and so forth, but we don't say no. So you're doing more physical discipline. When I say more, I don't, again, the younger the child, the the lesser, you're not giving them 10 swats on the bottom. You may just be swatting a hand or something. But it's more than reproof. And then as they get older, you know, mine are pretty much beyond using the rod now because of their age. And hopefully because I've been faithful here and faithful here, now I can tell them something and it has the same effect as when I used to use the rod. Or I can ask them to do something and they're obedient and compliant, not perfectly, not all the time, because we've done this faithfully. So again, it's more work here. It's more work when they're younger. You know, if you've got children 6, 7 years old or under, it's still hard. And several of you have several under that age. That's the hardest time. The hardest time. But it's the most important time. It is the most important time. I'm convinced that the time I invested in my children, sitting on the edge of their bed during times of discipline, was the most valuable, the most impressive. And I've already told you, some of the sweetest times I've ever had with my children, because we're addressing disobedience and we're encouraging them toward righteousness. So as they get older, the rod will hopefully decrease and the reproof increases. That's what you want. You want to be able to tell your children, please go clean your room. Yes, ma'am. And they go and they clean their room without having to discipline them to do that. But it's going to take a lot of that up here when you're doing it. So just a real simple concept there that's not perfect, and you're right, it probably goes up and down a lot. Now let's look at another illustration. This is from Ted Tripp's book, Shepherding a Child's Heart, on page 144. If you have that book, you can look and read how he describes it. The reason for the rod and reproof. The reason for the rod and reproof. Specifically, when you're using the rod and you're disciplining them for sin, you want to teach them letter A. This is the main reason you want to get across to them, that sin always brings suffering. Sin leads to suffering. This is why older children rebel. This is why grown-ups won't obey police. This is why some of us don't like to do what our boss tells us, or we don't like anyone over us, because we don't fully understand that disobedience leads to suffering. We must obey those in authority, ultimately the Lord. Sin leads to suffering. When our children disobey, they will suffer for it. What we're doing as parents is trying to control that suffering in an environment where we're correcting them. Instead of letting them loose, then they'll get out into the world, they'll sin, they'll disobey, and then they'll let the world's consequences be the suffering. And I'd much rather inflict the suffering myself in a way of righteousness than let the world do that. Look at Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and father. And then Paul reminds us that the Lord said, this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So if suffering is the negative consequence to disobedience, living long and a well life is the positive consequence. So suffering or well-doing, or let's call this the circle of blessing, the circle of blessing, or the circle of safety. I think he calls it the circle of safety, but we used to call it the circle of blessing. And what I like about this is not only what it teaches us, but we've used this a lot while we were disciplining. We'd have a little chalkboard in the kids' room or a notebook or something, and we would do this. So basically, you have a circle here. This circle represents the blessing or the protection of the Lord. Okay? And so when we're in this circle, and I would draw this out on a board to my children. When we're in this circle, you guys see that? Things are well. Not perfect. Doesn't mean nothing bad ever happens. This isn't your best life now circle. This is general blessings of the Lord. So when we're in this circle, we do this by obeying. Children, obey your children in the Lord, for this is right. Honoring mother and father. So obeying and honoring our parents and obeying and honoring the Lord keeps us in the circle of blessing. Maybe you want to use the umbrella of safety. If you're under the umbrella, you don't get wet. That's just another way to describe it. But now what happens when they disobey? Then, cursing, suffering. Remember, sin brings suffering. They're not promised the blessings of God. Now, again, don't go to these extremes here. Does the Lord bless us even in our disobedience? Thankfully so. Thankfully so. Because aren't we all in and out of this circle here? But we're not promised blessing. We're never promised blessing for disobeying. That's what we're saying here. He does because he's gracious. The sun shines on the just and the unjust. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. But we're never promised. The general pattern of the Bible is that blessing comes with obedience. Cursing and suffering comes with disobedience. If we remain outside of this, what we're showing is that we don't belong to the Lord. So anyway, when our children disobey, they're outside of the circle of blessing. And so we would draw a little dotted line and disobey. And we'd say, you know, sweetheart, do you want to be under the protection of the Lord's blessing? Or do you want to be outside of his blessing? And again, what child is going to say, well, I want to be outside of his blessing. I love being a rebel. No, they're going to want to be in the circle of blessing. And so what we do is we'll say, well, sweetie, the Bible says the way for mommy and daddy to point you back to the circle of blessing, to point you back and to direct you back into God's blessing. If you got out of it through disobedience, you get back into it through discipline or the rod. So because you stepped out of the circle of blessing by disobeying mommy and dad, by disobeying the Lord, then we have to discipline you with the rod to put you back in the circle of blessing. Now this lets them know, all right, out here, bad. In here, good. Because in here, I'm obeying the Lord, I'm honoring the Lord, I have the promise of his blessing. Out here, it takes discipline to get me back in. What happens when we fail to parent, we just leave our children out here. Remember, they grow up in either school or law or just society or natural consequences. They receive all of this. So what we're doing is letting them know that sin brings suffering, but it can be corrected. Does that make sense? Again, just refer to Tripp's book in here, page 144, 145, where he walks through that issue. It's been very helpful. Our kids understood it. Any questions there?
You can even practice this with a toddler and a real umbrella.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, use a real umbrella. Or was it, Amanda, was it you telling me you've drawn the circle on the concrete? Yeah, spray painted on the carpet. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, that's even better. I love that. The umbrella or drawing the circle. That's even better. If I'd have done that, my kids would have turned out better sooner. Well, that's a great idea. All right. Now, let's turn to the next page, to page 33. And we're going to conclude this section with some how-tos for discipline. This is where the rubber meets the road, or the rod meets the bottom, however you want to say it. Now I remember why I gave you Rob Flood's article, because it's a lot shorter than mine. I have like 20-something steps, and he has 6 or 7. I asked the girls last week or the week before, tell me what you remember about spankings in our home. Because again, it's been a couple of years since they've been spanked, at least for one of them. I won't tell you which other one's been spanked more recently, but and should be. Anna immediately said, we didn't like it. We tried everything we could to get out of it the best we could. That's what she said. Then she kind of laughed and she said, no, she said, I remember you would always tell us that you did it because you loved us. You spanked us because you loved us. And that's Hebrews 12, right? The Lord disciplines those he loves. Sweetheart, mommy has to do this or I'm not loving you like the Lord tells me to. And Daddy has to spank you and discipline you because I love you. They remembered us praying with them. They remembered us praying with them after every spanking. And they remembered, I think this was Anna said, I remember that discipline is not the same as punishment. You weren't punishing us, you were disciplining us. And you remember we talked about that. Why don't we say we're punishing our children? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. In fact, that I hadn't thought of it that way. Directionally, punishment is separation from God. Discipline pushes us back to God. Discipline is back to God. Punishment is what the wicked get at death. They get punishment. And again, we talked about the fact that our children may not be believers yet, but you're teaching them, you know, I'm disciplining you. And this is why we need the gospel, because Jesus took our punishment. They also remember they would hide the rod so that we couldn't find it. That's one thing they remembered about that. I meant to bring to you the rod that we use, because you have to order them clandestinely on at some company. They can't even be online anymore because of all the political correctness. But it's simply a short leather strap. It looks kind of like a piece of a belt, but it's stiffer, so you've got better control of it. And it's just hard enough where it'll sting the bottom. It's not going to wound them. I mean, unless you're, you know, full arming it. But as far as what you use for that, I think we'll talk about that in a minute. But you know, a wooden spoon or a belt or whatever you can control. Whatever you can control, you don't want it to get out of control. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. You remember, maybe you've heard that joke about the hillbillies that went into the big city and they had a free night stay at this fancy hotel. And so Pa took his boy into the lobby of the hotel with their luggage and they stared at these double silver doors that opened and closed and lights came on and they heard dings and dings. And they just stood there for minutes and watched this thing. And they watched this little old lady walk into these silver doors. And they watched the silver doors close, and they heard the bells ring. And a few seconds later, the silver doors open, and out comes this beautiful young lady. And the Pa says to the boy, "Boy, go get your mama." He wanted to know what happened behind those doors, because the lady that went in was not the lady that came out. He thought something magic happened in there. And I want you to know that it's not magic, but it's faithfulness that when you take your children behind doors, take them to their bedroom or to the laundry room, wherever your discipline room is. I know you all have a special room you try to go to when you're home. You take them behind those doors. When you come out, they should be a different child. They should be a different child in that moment. They may go in angry. They may go in disappointed. They may go in scared. They may go in crying, but they should come out happy. It should come out happy. And I'm telling you, it is possible. Rob Flood talks about it in his article. When his in-laws were home visiting, he even starts the article that way. His father-in-law said, "How come you take them in that room and they're crying, and you bring them out and they're smiling?" And he talks you through what happens behind the doors. That's what I want to do here. What I've given you is merely a practical guideline. It's a guideline. You don't have to follow every single step. We didn't follow every single step because of where we were or how much time we had, but we tried to cover these basic guidelines. Let me walk through these, and I'll slow down on a couple of them. We just have about 15 minutes or so to do this. Letter A, define the rules. Define the rules. This is something that Anita has been helpful reminding me of when they were little. Not to discipline them for doing something they weren't made aware is sinful or against the rules. Yeah. Oh, practical guideline. A practical guideline. These are just my suggestions. And again, you read Rob Flood's article, very similar. So if I know it's almost dinner time and I see the kids out playing in the backyard and I know normally they should be getting ready for dinner, I'm not going to go out and get on to them unless I talk to Anita first. Because if when something like that would happen, if I go out and get onto them, they could very well say, "Oh, Mom said it was okay if we stayed out here." So then I've gotten all upset over something I didn't know about. So make sure the rules are defined. Make sure they know what's right and wrong, house rules, God's rules, and so forth. Letter B, give reasons for the rules when possible. Give reasons for the rules when possible. And here's why I say when possible. Number one, I think the reasons will help them want to do it more than if you don't give them reasons. Because there are going to be times when you ask your children to do something, and you do need to say, "I need you to do it because Daddy said so, okay? I need you to obey Daddy. I don't need to explain. I don't have to explain right now." So when you can explain, do. It's not wrong to explain. You don't owe your children an explanation. God doesn't owe us an explanation for why he asked us to do what he asked us to do. But often he does. In fact, most of his rules and guidelines and precepts reflect his character. That's why he gives them to us. They're not arbitrary. They reflect who he is. And so our rules and reasoning need to somehow reflect the character and goodness of God. So give reasons for your rules when it's possible. When they're younger, they're the obvious reasons. Sweetie, you can't play out in the road because the cars drive very fast down here. For the first few years when we lived out in our neighborhood, I would tell the kids right around 5 or 6 o'clock is when the sun set. And when you're driving down my road, that sun is right in your eyes and you can't see anything. So I told my children, "I don't want you in the road around this time of the day." And instead of them, just leaving them to wonder, why in the world does he pick this particular time of day where I can't play in the road, where any other time of the day I can play in the road because they're older and they can play in the road. I just said, "Look, you see the sun there?" Or when we were driving down the road, "Can you see the sun shining in our eyes? We can't see anything. That's why I don't want y'all on the road, because it's just not safe." So if it's just common sense things, let them know, because sometimes you won't give them reasons and you don't need to give them reasons. Letter C, use biblical language. Use biblical language. We've talked about this last week. You're going to spank them, or of course spanking is not biblical necessarily, but you're going to apply the rod. Whatever you say, don't say things like, "I'm going to wear you out or tear you up." Please stop saying that. It's not right. It does give people fodder for their arguments against biblical discipline. I know I was worn out growing up and I survived. I get it. Okay, I get that. I was torn up. I was whipped with a belt and left a waller in my pity. But that doesn't mean we need to repeat that process. And again, number two, discipline. We're using discipline rather than punishment. Say, I'm going to need to discipline you, not punishment. I won't rehash that. Number three, obedience or honor. Say, "I need you to obey, Mom. I need you to honor the Lord in this. You're not honoring the Lord when you do that," rather than minding or behaving. And again, minding and behaving, they're not bad words. I'm just trying to get you to use more biblical phrases. When we started using that with our little children, "Sweetie, I need you to obey Mommy. I need you to obey Daddy for this." My mom said, "They're not dogs." No, they're not dogs, but they still need to obey. I can't help it that we use obedience school for dogs. My children need to obey. So use biblical language. What this does is help you to reflect the authority that God has given you. You're not just reflecting your own preferences or whims or good moods, bad moods. Letter D, before you discipline, get your facts straight. Get your facts straight. Did you witness the offense? Did you witness the offense? Yeah. Boy, if I've jumped...
Imagine, we go through a Christian...
Yeah. And I am quick to jump. I am so quick to, I won't even hear one side, much less two sides. I don't even want to hear one side. And again, my sweet wife has to remind me, you need to listen. You're getting ahead of yourself. If you didn't witness it, then you need to do your investigating. Because you sure don't want to go and spank them or discipline them for something they didn't do. One way to do this, number two, is to have the child wait in their room while you prepare. While you prepare. What kind of preparation do you need to do? Well, the investigation, as Kristen mentioned. Number three, you might talk with your spouse in private before you make a decision. In private. Not in front of the child. Why? Because of number four, do not let your children see you and your spouse disagree. I'm not saying you won't disagree, and I'm not saying it's not always wrong to disagree. You know, our wives can't always be right, guys. Just kidding. But do not let your children see them disagree, because they'll play off of that. So what I'll say is, sweetie, I need you to go to your room and wait. Let mommy and daddy talk, and I'll be right there. So we'll talk. Tell me what happened, or why were they outside playing when you're getting dinner ready? And then she can say, oh, well, I told them they could go outside and play. Or why were they doing this when they're not supposed to do that? Oh, well, I had already cleared that with them. So you're getting your facts straight with your spouse. And then if there's disagreement, you're doing it in private, not in public. And here's what I'll say here. If there's disagreement, you know, as men, we are leaders of the home, and we have to take that responsibility. If we do make the wrong decision, the Lord will hold us accountable for that. So when there's a disagreement, then the biblical thing would be, this is where the submission will eventually come in here, and you need to let the father make that choice. If you see that there's a pattern of, again, we're not talking about marriage here, so I'm assuming we can do this rightly and lovingly and biblically. If you have questions about that, see me afterwards. Number five, whatever you do, do not undermine your spouse in front of your children. Do not undermine your spouse in front of your children. That will not help your cause at all. So get your facts straight. Letter E, get the log out of your own eye. Get the log out of your own eye. This is how parenting helps in our own sanctification. Number one, top of the next page. These are means for your own sanctification. This doesn't mean your children are allowed to get away with discipline just because you're guilty of the same thing. I'm not saying that. It just means, top of page 34, number two, it just means that often someone else needs to repent too. Someone else needs to repent too. I can specifically remember one of my children was very tired. They needed a nappy. That's our joke around the house. They need a nappy. That's how some parents excuse their children's disobedience. No, they need a spanky. So our child needed a nappy. They were being grumpy. They were complaining, unkind, you name it. And I remember, oh, I had just the brilliant biblical response. You know, I said, just because you're tired doesn't mean that you can be unkind to other people in the house. And at the moment I said that, it was as if I was talking to myself, because that's exactly what I do. When I get tired, I get grumpy, I take it out on other people. So I had to examine my own heart there. Didn't mean I let it slide with the child. I still want to discipline that, but it means I need to do some my own heart discipline. So get the log out of your own eye first. If you'll listen to yourself, some of the best and wisest things you say to your children, I think the Lord is giving you for yourself. That's what I've found out. Letter F, discipline after the first offense. Do you have a big arrow? I inserted the arrow for you. Circle that. Put a star beside it. Light it up in neon. Discipline after the first offense. Let's say that together. Discipline after the first offense. This does many things. Number one, it sets the standard. You're setting a standard in your house. You can either teach your children that mom or dad aren't serious until we say your middle name. Mom and dad aren't serious until we've addressed you three times. We're really not serious until we've counted to 10. And they know that and they learn that. So why not let them know mommy and daddy are serious when we tell you the first time? Please do this. It's just as easy to do. It sets the standard. It avoids giving them a freebie. It avoids giving them a freebie. You're giving them one free opportunity to disobey. Now, to even cut out the first freebie, in his book, Larry Lucas has a book called The Things You'll See. He's a private publisher, and I couldn't get the book very cheap, so I didn't get it in here, but you can find it online. But he talked about how they were trying to address complaining in their house. And he said, my wife and I told the kids, you know, the Bible says not to complain. And so when we hear a child complain, we would correct them and say, sweetheart, if you complain again, we're going to have to be disciplined. And so that would usually cure it for the rest of the day. And then the next day, they would hear a complaint, and they would say, if you complain again, we're going to have to discipline. Well, they realize every day they're getting one free complaint. So they got the children together, and they said, listen, we understand the Bible teaches that we're to do everything without grumbling or complaining, but in all things with thanksgiving. And so when we hear you guys complain, we're going to have to address that and discipline that. And this is the last time we're going to remind you. And he said it was amazing how soon the complaining stopped in their home. So you're avoiding giving them a freebie. And again, remember, you make sure you've defined the rules. Go back to number one or whatever number that was. If they don't know it's a sin or if they don't know it's a house rule, then you can't hold them to it. Number two, it avoids unnecessary repetition. Unnecessary repetition, which number three leads and prevents you from growing angry. From growing angry. That's why most parents discipline in anger, because they've allowed their children to test their patience and to run it out. If you discipline them after the first offense, yes, it's going to be inconvenient because you may be eating dinner or you may be in the grocery store and have to come home and leave your buggies there. You may have to step out of church with your child and come to a private place. But you won't be as angry because they haven't exhausted your patience. It also reinforces, number four, the concept that you are disciplining because they've disobeyed God. They've disobeyed God rather than disrupted mom or dad. You think through that. When you don't discipline until the third or fourth time, then you're telling them, I don't care that you've sinned. I just care that you've ruined my day, that you've interrupted my life. Don't count. Don't use middle names. Do not threaten. Discipline after the first offense. Ted Tripp says in the box, when you speak for the first time, you've spoken for the last time. I'm telling you, this will transform how your children respond to you when they know that you're consistent, and that's, I'm getting to the next one, when you discipline after the first offense. They're going to look to you expecting you to do that. You know that. You know that they know where your line is. So you may need to go home tonight and sit the children down and confess this. You know, mommy and daddy haven't been faithful and consistent in our discipline, and we want to do that. So we're going to start addressing these things when they happen. Okay, no more second chances and third chances. Okay, prepare them for this. Letter G, discipline consistently. Consistently. As I've said before, number one, this will inconvenience you severely. This will inconvenience you severely. I've eaten many cold meals because I had to discipline immediately and consistently. This will make you late for church and late for school and late for appointments. There will be times where you can't discipline immediately and consistently, which is why you need to discipline consistently and immediately. That way, when you have to break the pattern, it's not going to put you back to point A starting over again. Discipline consistently after the first offense. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have pulled the vehicle over to discipline right away after the first offense? Okay? Yes, we've done that. And I'm telling you, that's the only time we would discipline the child in front of siblings. Otherwise, we're going to a private room. But when you discipline one child in front of a van full of three others, the rest of the ride home is nice and quiet. Okay? So you've got a martyr. Letter H. Keep calm and carry on. Keep calm and carry on, to borrow the modern vernacular. Remember the verses on anger we've discussed? Can you tell me a couple of them, either the verse, the reference, or the verse? What are some anger verses we've already been looking at? Real quick. James 1:20. That's James 4:1. James 1:20. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God, not in you and not in your child. So don't, that's my addendum. Very good. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle voice turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Proverbs 16, several verses there. I think, Tiffany, you were memorizing some of those. Sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Sweetness of speech, that's a tongue twister, increases persuasiveness. Proverbs 16, I think it's verse 23, 24, 25, 26, somewhere in the 20s. James 1:20, Proverbs 15:1. 21b. These are on your orange cards that I'm sure are worn out because you've been memorizing these verses. We'll see when I give the test in a few weeks. Letter I. Sometimes you can show mercy. Sometimes you can show mercy, but be sure and let them know why. What's the first reason you need to let them know if you show them mercy? Because God has been merciful to you. Now, let's just kill two birds with one stone here. When you're in a position where you can't really discipline them, where it is inconvenience, where you are about to walk out the door, use this to your advantage and say, sweetie, I need to discipline you right now. You've disobeyed mommy or disobeyed daddy by doing such and such, but I'm going to show you mercy. Okay, I'm going to show you mercy and not give you a spanking. You know why? Because the Lord has shown me mercy. I deserve to be disciplined for my sin. I deserve to be punished for my sin, but He showed me mercy, and I want to show you mercy. Number two, there's no greater object lesson. There's no greater object lesson to teach God's mercy and salvation. Again, that's a great way to share with them the gospel quickly and clearly. So if you cannot go through these steps, any of these steps, then show them mercy and let them know why. You don't have to say, I can't discipline you right now because it really would inconvenience me. You don't have to tell them all of that. Letter J, when you can't show them, when you're ready to work through this first offense, you're being consistent, you're calm, you're not angry, find a private place. Letter J, find a private place. As they get older, then you can wait till you get home if you're on the way home from a store. When they're younger, you need to try to do the best you can. You need the discipline to be as close to the offense as possible because you know your little ones, when you get home, they're not going to remember what you did, the younger they are. And that's not fair. It's like going out and kicking your dog for digging a hole in the yard that morning. That dog has no idea what you're kicking him for. So, not that you kick your children. Sorry for that crossover there.
We say it this way. We say we praise publicly and we correct privately.
Praise publicly, correct privately. Very good.
Yeah.
Now, I've erased reproof. Reproof you can do publicly, again, because if you're not humiliating your child. But wait till you get home. Letter K, in a minute I'm going to need one of you parents to go ahead and get your children in just a moment here. State the sin, letter K, state the sin. Why it is a sin, using Scripture when you can. Doesn't mean you have to have your Bible open there, but you need to have at least an idea. And what should have been the right thing to do. So you can go back to page 30 and look through that process. It's the put off, put on principle in Colossians and Ephesians. Don't just be stingy with your toys, but you need to be kind to one another, considering others better than yourself and so forth. Point them to the cross, letter L. You know, one parent is slipping out to get your child, then you can come back in if you need to. Point them to the cross, share the gospel with them. Show them the sinfulness of their heart and God's only solution. This is the core of what we're doing here. So pay attention now. Let them know, letter M, the extent of their discipline. In other words, how many swats they will receive. This, we're still talking about physical discipline here then. Usually it's the older they are, the more swats they get. Sometimes we would give double swats for lying, just because we wanted to reinforce that area of sin and we didn't want them to become good liars. Number two, instead of how many swats, you may tell them what is the length of their grounding or what are the terms of removing privileges. So we're taking away a lot of electronics in our home now. And my daughters will come up and remind me, how long before I get my iPod back? And I don't ever remember, so I need to write it down. Yeah, Joe?
No,
Letter N, I left this blank because I didn't want to put it in notes just because I'm just so nervous with society now. But here's what we did when we actually spanked them. We're in a private room. We've shared the gospel with them. We've let them know the extent of their discipline, why it's a sin. And what we would do, just to make sure we could control and not hurt, we would very quickly, I'd put them over my lap. I'd pull their breeches down a little bit enough just so that I could do the swats on their bottom. Once I'm done with the swats, I immediately pull their pants up. I scoop them up in my arm, and I start loving on them. So the discipline, the pain is, remember, it's controlled, it's manageable, it's just enough to sting, it's not enough to leave a mark or wound them by any means.
That's the letter N?
That's letter N, just kind of, you know, the removing of the pants and doing that. I'm just nervous. I may even cut it out of the audio. If you do it over the pants, you don't know how hard you're hitting them, and you're going to hit them too hard and hurt them, and you don't want to do that, or you're not going to feel it at all.
Yeah.
And when your children say, you know, that didn't hurt at all, I simply say, okay, well, we'll need to do it again then. Because it needs to hurt. It just doesn't need to wound them. Letter O, as I said, embrace them. Immediately afterwards, embrace them. Tell them you love them. Heap on the love. This will not confuse discipline with love, as I used to think as a young parent. I was in a conference with Ted Tripp listening to him, and I raised my hand like a smart young father, and I said, if we love them and hug them right after we spank them, won't that confuse discipline with love? And he reminded me of Hebrews 12. When you discipline them, you are loving them. You are loving them. Because I've told them, I need to spank you because I love you. I love this quote from Bruce Ray in his book, Withhold Not Correction. This is why we love them after we've spanked them. He says, because God has never afflicted us and then abandoned us. And we shouldn't do that with our children. God has never afflicted us and abandoned us. I remember one time my dad wore me out, that phrase, with a belt, tossed me on the bed, and just ran out. In fact, they usually always did that. They spanked me, they left me crying, and they left. No love, no talking, nothing like that. We're going to correct that pattern. After you've done that, restate the sin. I'm trying to get through these blanks real quick. Restate the sin. They need to confess, have them confess and ask for God's forgiveness. Then ask forgiveness from whomever they've offended, a parent or a brother or sister. Teach them to say, please forgive me, rather than just say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me rather than I'm sorry. Because I'm sorry doesn't really admit that you've done something wrong. It just means I'm sorry you got upset. I'm sorry your nose is bleeding when my fist struck it. No, please forgive me means I have sinned against you. And I would even say, please forgive me for being unkind to you. Please forgive me for taking your iPod when I didn't ask. Please forgive me for this. And then that teaches your other children to be forgiving. Pray with them, letter Q, pray with them and stay with them until they're settled down. Pray for them, asking the Lord's forgiveness. Pray with them. Letter R, when it's over, it's over. That's usually the first thing I say after the swats. I scoop them up and I say, that's all. It's all over. It's all over. And I'm loving them. I love you. It's all over. And you don't bring it up again. You do not bring it up again unless you're establishing a pattern in their life, a pattern of lying or a pattern of stealing or anger or so forth. But you're not bringing up the discipline again. You remember what just happened in your room? You want that to happen again? That's not the kind of thing we're talking about. Letter S, you should both be able to walk out of the room smiling. If you haven't, then go to letter T, repeat as necessary. You're not done if you can't leave the room smiling. You're not angry, they're not angry. You've loved them, you've prayed with them, and they understand.